Welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Izzy Gutierrez. Wherever Dan is, you can assume he's sweating profusely. These are the calm and collected Gonzalo Lebertard and George Sedano. George, what do you like on the show today?
I'm always in for Draymond blasting somebody, so let's go.
Vamos, papi.
Should the Chief rest Patrick Mahomes on his bum ankle against the Bronco tonight?
Patrick Mahomes. And this, of course, is a tricky one all of a sudden. We've seen him struggle through an ankle injury that he has re-aggravated twice in game and both times has struggled afterward. And now you're talking about Patrick Mahomes' Chiefs coming off of two losses into a Thursday night game against a surging Broncos defense, at least. Look, I don't think there's any chance he's going to sit out. When you weigh risk and reward, this seems more like an opportunity for Patrick Mahomes to play the hero than for you to really worry about what his ankle is feeling like. As long as they can avoid him getting hit again, you'll probably see a Patrick Mahomes who is close to his MVP level. He's not going to be able to make up for that run defense, which has been atrocious. And this is still a short week on the road, but you've got 10 games after this. He does not have a bye week until week 12, but he's got 10 days after this to rest and recover and then look like the Patrick Mahomes again. Look, if you're talking about re-injuring an ankle, not that big of a fear. Tonight, he's got to play and play hero and end this losing streak.
This sounds like the producers have him on his fantasy team or something because it feels like a complete overreaction. He's had one game that he played poorly by his own standards against the Houston Texans, who, by the way, ESPN has as the third best team in the AFC, according to the Football Power Index. So I feel like we're exaggerating a little bit here. And here's the other thing. He says he's fine. He says he's going to play. Andy Reid says he's going to play. And you know what? Sometimes we're too beholden to the quarterback position. This may be an opportunity for other guys to step up. Travis Kelce, LeSean McCoy, Damian Williams, Tyreek Hill, right? All these guys that are available to them. They got a lot of weapons that can help carry him for a little bit.
Hey, Broncos, you know what to do when he's on the ground?
Oh,
find his ankle and step on it.
No!
That's right.
That's the MVP, man.
Bobby, no!
Don't listen to this,
no.
Man.
No, Bobby. Bad, yeah. Bobby.
Are the Wizards right to bank on Bradley Beal?
This is pretty interesting here. Overnight, we heard that Bradley Beal signed a 2-year extension after he was one vote away from making an All-NBA team and being eligible for a Supermax. He now sets himself up to be eligible after 10 years for a 5-year, $266 million richest contract in NBA history. He did nothing wrong in that situation, and really, the Wizards did nothing wrong in this situation, right? They had an all-star in their grasp. They tried to keep him, and they succeeded. But at the start of this, you've got GM Tommy Shepard telling you once again that we're going with John Wall and Bradley Beal for the long run here. Is there ever going to be a rebuild? Whether it's because these two don't have chemistry together, whether they're not the right fit, whether they don't have the right coach or the right teammates around them, we've seen a few iterations of this duo try to work, and really it seems like there's a ceiling on this. I think a lot of people love Bradley Beal, and his trade value would probably never have been higher than it would be from right now until this February trade deadline. It feels like they missed an opportunity to go with an actual rebuild and instead are trying to sell us once again on the same backcourt with one of them coming off of an Achilles injury.
This team has been a reboot candidate for 3 seasons, it feels like, and they continue to trot out the same team, as you mentioned, is. But Bradley Beal puts butts in the seats. He scores 27 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. If you're Ted Leonsis and company, you have to have somebody you can sell because John Wall probably won't be back this season. There's a good chance that's going to be the case. But if you're Bradley Beal, what are your motivations? Do you want to stay in one place your entire career? Do you want to be that guy for DC? Do you want to make the most money? Or do you want to try to win? Because if you want to try to win, staying there is not necessarily the right move. And if you're the Wizards, this doesn't seem like the right move either because your timeline probably will never work out. Even rebuilding around him is going to take some time.
I have a prediction on the Wizards.
Oh, yeah?
In 2 months, we'll be asking, should the Wizards blow it up?
And somehow they still won't do it.
Nah, forever.
Should the NFL consider adding a draft lottery?
Well, Roger Goodell addressed this yesterday at the fall meetings in Fort Lauderdale here. And the question being, of course, with these tanking teams, when you've got the Miami Dolphins tanking better than anybody else has, when you've got the Washington team sitting throwing their name in the hat there, and they're all doing so for Tua, and you project next year for Mr. Lawrence out of Clemson teams doing the same thing, should you then have an NBA-like draft lottery system? For starters, George, I don't think the NBA draft lottery does much to deter tanking in the NBA, right? It's been a serious discussion over the years and changing that. But in football, even, how often do you have the absolute sure thing quarterback coming out at number one? There are plenty of quarterbacks you can draft at number one, a Baker Mayfield-like, but does anybody actually say, hey, I'm going to lose every game for that guy? I don't think it's big enough a problem yet. And when you think about it, look, early in the season, this is the first time we've actually talked about it at this point. But if you look at most NFL seasons, you go through week eight on, you have teams blatantly tanking all the time. It's just the Miami Dolphins were starting from the very beginning, and it seems to be a problem. Unless you see this going for the next 5, 6, 7 years, I don't really see a scenario where you have to add a lottery.
Roger Goodell and the owners, though, they are steadfast in saying, no tanking, nothing to see here. I saw quotes from Arthur Blank. I saw quotes from Jeffrey Lurie. They all think, well, the Dolphins are just resetting. They're doing the right thing. We all know what the Dolphins are doing. It's blatant tanking, and it's fine. It actually is the smart move. They probably should have done this 10 or 15 years ago, to be honest with you. And it's not new. You mentioned the Cleveland Browns. I could go back to the Colts when Peyton Manning was lost, where they trotted out a 97-year-old Kerry Collins out of nowhere. They trotted out our colleague Dan Orlovsky, who we like, but wasn't necessarily someone who was ready to take over the reins there, and Curtis Painter as well. So we've seen this stuff before. The NFL just likes to mask this and say, again, nothing to see here. Should they do the draft lottery? No, it doesn't work in the NBA. What's the point of doing it in the NFL?
Frankly, you can't really get mad at these teams like the Browns and the Dolphins, who have been suffering for so long, losing, 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 and can't even find a way to make the playoffs. They go the extreme route. There aren't that many franchises doing as much.
Yeah, to your point, look, the middle of the road is the worst thing you can be in the NFL. You got to be great or you got to be bad. That's just the way it works in sports, period, now.
The NFL should have a lottery.
Yeah?
Yeah, but only after the Dolphins, they get Tua.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
fix the problem something. After the Dolphins fix their major problem.
For real.
That's the way to do it.
Could you see Jerry Jones signing Antonio Brown?
Well, let's be clear here. This is Michael Irvin speaking on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, laughing while he's suggesting that Antonio Brown sign with the Dallas Cowboys. But let's take the laughter out of it for a second, shall we? Because this is Jerry Jones, and these are the Cowboys. And you would think that if any team in the NFL would actually think about this, it would be him. Never mind that the last time we saw Antonio Brown, he was sending intimidating texts to a witness in a civil sexual assault case. Never mind that. It seems like the morals police don't really go around Jerry World very often, and so he might be willing to overlook that. Look, if, as Michael Irvin says, you can sort of bring him in and say, hey, Amari Cooper, go ahead and heal, and if he is a good citizen and everybody is together, that, him, Gallup, Cooper, probably the best receiving core in the NFL, and all of a sudden you're talking about the Cowboys as a legitimate contender again. It sounds crazy. It sounds crazy. But maybe.
Maybe? Yeah, I don't know. Listen, Michael Irvin is sitting there and he's laughing, but he clearly sounds pretty serious, as you mentioned, is going through all the litany of reasons as to why they should sign Antonio Brown. But here's the problem. Yes, the Cowboys have been a team that have taken on a lot of players with baggage. But this player's baggage is a little different, as you pointed out. He's currently under investigation from the NFL and dealing with that civil suit. He's yet, to my knowledge, to speak to the NFL about their current investigation. So he's on an unpaid suspension, which then, once he does finally talk to the NFL, will determine if he's on another unpaid suspension. So no matter what's going to happen here, this is probably not a likely scenario for this particular
but
season.
Would you be surprised if Jerry just
absolutely
asked.
Not. No. The answer is I would not be surprised.
All right.
Is Draymond right that teams deserve more blame when high draft picks bust?
Well, Draymond Green and the Warriors have a former high draft pick, former number 8 pick Marquese Chriss, on their team, and he's now in his fourth team. And what Draymond essentially said was, look, you guys always want to blame the players for being busts, but you never look at the organization that drafted them and brought them up, whether it be because media members are friends with the executives of those teams. He said they don't get enough criticism, and frankly, some organizations just do a better job of building up young picks. Look, I think it's a bit of a straw man from Draymond because we do criticize teams like the Suns when they don't do well by their players or they don't develop players very well. And we definitely give a lot of credit to teams like the San Antonio Spurs, the Miami Heat, and others that develop their players, whether they be high draft picks or not. But there are a lot of factors that come into play with why an NBA player doesn't develop into the type of player he is. And with Marquese Chriss, you could even look at his age when he came into the NBA. A lot of players maybe come in too soon, and they're not even ready. So while Draymond does have a point that the criticism is not spread evenly enough, there are way too many factors to say, hey, let's put the blame on the organization and let these players, say, play wherever they want to.
Draymond is right and he's wrong. You're right. Izzy, culture absolutely matters. And you have to be aligned from the top to the bottom. And sometimes a guy like Marquese Chriss gets drafted into a situation where maybe he doesn't fit the scheme of a particular coach. And then he goes to another team and it just doesn't work out for another reason because now he's lost his confidence. There's so many things that could snowball, particularly with young guys, that creates these situations. But to your point, we've blasted the Phoenix Suns. Robert Sarver is widely known as basically James Dolan West. They get treated like the Knicks of the Western Conference because they've been at the bottom of the Western Conference for so long after they were nearly at the top of the Western Conference for many, many years.
Counterpoint. Yeah, what about if Draymond had been drafted by the Knicks?
Or anybody else that didn't have Steph Curry, frankly.
Or Clay.
Coming up next on my son's TV show.
I mean, here he was in the high post. I mean, God, he sees the floor so well. And this ball just gets there right on the money. That wasn't the best one, though. This was the best one. I mean, I, for one, I mean, look at this. All right.
From the line.
There you go.
I didn't want to think that was the
get into the other zone. Header.
Oh, come on.
Get out of here!
You'll never make it to the sixth division playing like that.
Galinsky will, though.
My son's TV show is brought to you by PlayStation. Now, experience hundreds of incredible games available on demand. Time to play the game that always needs more sleep. Do you question?
You give us topics and events, and we question them.
Do you question which was the better pass from LeBron?
This was from Lakers-Warriors last night. Steph Curry didn't play, but the Lakers' big men played, and LeBron was just kind of showing off. I mean, here he was in the high post. I mean, God, he sees the floor so well, and this ball just gets there right on the money. That wasn't the best one, though. This was the best one. I mean, I, for one, I mean, look at this.
How did he see him?
How? I mean, but how do you put it right in his hands? Never mind that you don't, that you see him. Left-handed, behind the back, in the air, dude in his face, right in his hands. Listen, I, for one, don't care if LeBron wins another championship. I don't care if he makes another All-Star game even. I just want him to show off all the time just like that while he's in L.A. every single day.
Danny Green better get used to standing in the corner.
I mean, yes, that's a specialty, right? When you're playing with LeBron.
A lot of that in your future.
Just get out of the way.
Yes.
Do you question JaVale McGee's sportsmanship?
I was just told you're going to want to keep an eye on JaVale McGee for this entire play. Listen, you're going to want to keep an eye on JaVale McGee for the entire season. If he's on the floor with LeBron, he's either going to be doing something great or something like this.
Start earlier than anybody else playing next Tuesday. The Warriors are
right. There he goes. Oh, look, he looks like he turned an ankle. Oh, no, so much pain. Oh, no, wide open.
Sneaky.
I mean, that is sneaky. So McGee. Bush. So, Bush League, don't laugh at that, Anthony Davis.
Don't laugh at that. Brilliant.
You cannot be a part of this. If this happens in the regular season, there's a fight afterward. I'm telling you.
Win if you can, lose if you must, but always, always cheat.
LeBron is going to fake an injury when they have a losing record in December.
Yes.
That's what he's going
to do. And then he's not going to run back on the court. That's the difference.
Do you question if the Penguins earned this victory?
Oh, I know it's your favorite time of year, George. It's NHL season. Here was the Penguins and the Avs. The Penguins were tied here. Yes, those Penguins. Tied here with the Avs. Shorthanded, though, in overtime.
Yes, thank you.
You don't even celebrate these. You just walk in.
Landeskog!
Look at this.
What happened, Landeskog?
Put that on the montage, baby. One of the worst goals I've ever seen.
But then again, he regretted that.
But then again, I never watch hockey.
I have seen a more embarrassing goal.
No way. Where was this?
This is like 17th division hockey somewhere.
Oh.
What?
What? That's called point shaving is what that's called.
The
that's
hell?
Not even embarrassing.
Do you question if this header was luck or skill?
We're going out to the English. Not first, not second, not seventh division of soccer here. Let's see who messed up here. All right.
From the line.
There we go.
I didn't want to think that was the
get into the other zone. Header.
Oh, come on.
Get out of here!
You'll never bleep out of here with that.
You'll never make it to the sixth division playing like that.
Galinsky will, though.
Oh, no.
Great celebration.
Oh, that's terrible, too. All of this is terrible. Why is this televised? This is awful. Who's watching this? I guess we are, right?
Yes, clearly.
And now, all of America. You're welcome.
I like this header better.
Uh-oh. Hey, that sounds great. Oh no.
Good God, man.
Let's just see it again in slow motion so we can see the pain in her face.
She saw it coming right at the last second, though. She was like, oh.
Coming up next on my son's TV show.
Here he was against the Knicks, just hitting 4 threes. I mean, he announced it's going to be his last year. But why? He could probably do this till he's 50. He looks so smooth.
I love Vince Carter, but he's not playing the Knicks every night, so there's that part of the equation.
5 threes. Yes. I shorted him one. He got iced here, but this is the first attempt.
The kick is good.
All right.
Second charge timeout. A timeout called.
Nailed that one. Now the second try.
This rarely works.
Highly questionable is broadcast from the Clevelander Hotel on beautiful South Beach, Miami. Time to play the game that has excellent timing. See? Oh, no.
Oh, I messed that one up. So you tell us what to watch on TV tonight. We'll tell you if we're intrigued.
Fake this out. Pump fake.
Tonight at 8 p.m., Hawks and Bulls.
Look, Vince Carter's 42 years old. I know we like to talk about Tom Brady defying age. Vince Carter's 42 years old, playing 82 NBA games and still dunking the basketball. That is absolutely insanity. Somebody needs to investigate. Here he was against the Knicks, just hitting 4 threes. I mean, he announced it's going to be his last year. But why? He could probably do this till he's 50. He looks so smooth.
I love Vince Carter, but he's not playing the Knicks every night, so there's that part of the equation.
5 threes. I shorted him one. I mean, it's ridiculous.
It's pretty wild, though, how he's expanded his game. Like, remember, he was superhuman dunker guy, and now he can really just do everything, even at 42 years old. CC, I'm intrigued. I love Vince. I'm in on Vinsanity all day. Let me get as much of it as I can.
How about you, Poppy? Are you intrigued?
Oh, CC, I'm very intrigued. You know, Vince Carter is an old guy, but he can still make it happen, just like me.
Oh. I mean, are you gargling? Are you freshening your breath? What are you doing? What are you trying to make happen here?
Tonight on ESPN, UCLA and Stanford.
Maybe if it was a women's volleyball match, yes. But let's take you back to a few weeks ago when UCLA's playing Arizona. This was UCLA's kicker trying to win the game. The first attempt, he got iced here, but this is the first attempt.
The kick is good.
All right.
There was second charge timeout. A timeout called.
Nailed that one. Now the second try.
This rarely works. Except here. It works. Yeah. That's what you get, Chip Kelly, for playing for the field goal. Yeah, Chip Kelly is mailing it in right now. He is making all sorts of money for doing a lot of nothing right now.
I mean, you're intrigued?
CC, I'm intrigued. Pac-12 After Dark is always wild and crazy. You saw it there. There's always a funny finish, so I'm in.
How about you, Poppy? Are you intrigued?
Oh, CC, I'm very intrigued. I'm telling you, UCLA has a Latino tight end by the name of Miguel Martinez.
Oh, Latino pride.
I'm telling you something. This guy only has 2 receptions, but tonight... Tonight he's going to have the third one.
Oh, and it will mean absolutely nothing.
Tonight at 8:08 p.m., Game 4, Astros and Yankees.
Well, of course, you've got Tanaka versus Greinke. We had to wait a day because it was rained out yesterday. Didi Gregorius in Game 3 came really close to hitting home run and maybe changing the fortunes in this game. Here was the reaction of a fan, which was amazing.
Balls were juiced earlier, man. That's a home run in the regular season.
So close.
That guy not happy. He tried to Jeffrey Mayer.
The worst day of his life.
How about you, George? Are you intrigued? CC, I was intrigued. That was me watching that game at home, basically. Yes.
How about you, Gonzalo? Are you intrigued?
Oh, CC, I'm very intrigued. Very, very intrigued. You're a Yankee fan.
I am, yes.
Astros. Astros.
One more time. Let him hear it.
Astros.
It's your best friend there, George.
Yeah.
Astros, cha cha cha. Astros, cha cha cha. Astros, cha cha cha. Astros. Astros, Astros, Astros. Astros. Boop.
Now he's just teasing you, George.
That's all the time we have for today. Thank you for watching.
Subscribe to the Sedano Show podcast. And by the way, we're here one more day tomorrow.
Astros.